right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John, and once again, for the second time in podcast history, Chuck is in person, live in the flesh, wearing a Vancouver Grizzlies hoodie indoors. Not hoodie, sorry, stocking cap.
It's a beanie, dog.
A beanie.
Don't say beanie, Chuck.
It's a Scully.
Oh, don't say Scully.
It's a Mulder.
Say, I've never heard Mulder. I like that. Mulder. I'm a fan of toboggan.
Are you?
It's kind of a toboggan. And so John, remote location, he looks like he's currently backlit on the video Skype, so he looks like one of those I was undercover with ISIS for 2 years and can't reveal my identity.
I sort of have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's been in my own fashion. With me.
Yeah, yeah.
In my own fashion.
So, John, you had some little medical. Going through some medical issues.
I'm living with a hernia.
I feel bad.
Ow.
That's pretty good. So
I have
so,
what's called a pelvis abscess, if anyone would like to throw up their breakfast.
Mm. Yep. Just Google that and Fournier.
Yeah. Good grief.
That's a good cross-referencing. Well, anyway. So we are here once again doing a Skype for John. Chuck and I staring at each other's fresh morning faces as Chuck yawns. Wait for it. There it is. All right, gentlemen, it's actually morning, as we tell our listeners when we actually record in the morning. Did we have a chance to have breakfast?
I did.
Yes, Chuck.
Ooh, I had a V8.
Oh, juice.
Went on the juice. Well, I didn't have time because I got up at an ungodly hour. For me, which is 8:30, and decided to come to Keith's house, and in that rush had my V8. Oh, this is just calories, so you don't get a headache. Move. So yeah, that's what I had. Sorry,
that's healthy.
Guys.
That's a healthy break.
I know, but I feel like I let my guys down in the streets when they're coming for that heat rock, that good breakfast heat rock from Chuck from the from the Fast Break Breakfast.
The best breakfast we've had recently was guest Candace Buckner describing her perfect Saturday morning breakfast. It was spectacular.
Mm. Oh, it included
turkey bacon.
So the Nashville Biscuit House on Veterans Day, I am a veteran of the United States Air Force, they give away a free meal. So I went with the loaded hash browns. Loaded home fries with a chicken biscuit side. So that was my real breakfast, the only real breakfast I've had this week. That was a good one.
That is pretty good. John, what'd you have?
Well, Chuck, when there were one set of footprints, that's when I carried you, because I had Biscuit House this morning.
Oh, nice.
I had a sausage and cheese biscuit, followed by a bacon and cheese biscuit. No egg, because eggs would conflict with my current status as dying person.
Actively dying.
I'd never been to this place, actually, even though they're kind of everywhere, or at least around. I went to a Brugger's Bagel, and I've talked about this before. I'm not excited about bagels ever. So I did what I did and added, put an egg on there, put some sriracha on there. And so I had their sriracha something breakfast sandwich.
I don't like it when things are marketed with sriracha in the whole thing.
But for me, it was the selling point. I was like, I'm not going to enjoy this. I do like sriracha, so I'll have that. I don't think I'm going to Brugger's Bagels again. It was depressing. I mean, the store was depressing. Like, it was empty. It felt like an Arby's.
Yeah.
Like, there was no one in there, just kind of trash on the floor.
Oh.
Looking at the menu.
First of all, why would you disparage Arby's? What Arby's are you going to, bro?
Arby's, I have a soft spot in my heart for Arby's.
Arby's is great.
Incredible.
But
you just picked that out of your head. That seems like
when is the last time they had a 5 for 5? That's 1992, right?
It's been a while.
Are they bringing them back?
I hope so.
I can recall it in the last 5 years, but it's definitely not like
I was
going to
say. I don't think you can buy roast beef anymore for that rate.
No, those were the pre-recession.
The halcyon days of roast beef.
Yep. Moving on from our breakfasts, after our breakfasts, we do our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Hey, Brooklyn, I thought you were going to be the worst team, and you're just not the worst.
team.
Close.
No, there are so many more worse teams.
Yeah, then there's at least like four teams that are probably worse.
Four at least in the East. And if you want to go Pelicans, there's a five total. Yeah, the Heat are stinking.
They're bad.
Real bad. The Wizards are just...
Wizards are struggling.
They're on the struggle bus. The Magic, even though they pulled off that surge revenge game.
That was like their one... That's probably their apex of the season. Yeah, their apex of the season was in the first week of November.
And the bright side, the Sixers are already off to a much better start than last year, but are 1-9.
They won their first game before December in right. like 3 years. But we're covering a lot of territory, Chuck.
Hey, right? Sorry.
Sixers are frisky.
They are
frisky 1-9.
To the John gambling world, they are frisky. But the Nets,
frisky.
Better than all these teams on paper, only 5.5 games back of first after 10 played.
What? Well,
and, they're obviously not as terrible as... But they're going to get worse.
But, I mean, Jeremy Lin isn't playing.
I know.
They didn't have Isaiah Whitehead.
It's the Sean Kilpatrick show, y'all.
Right. They didn't have any point guards, and they still, like, went into Phoenix and handily beat up on Phoenix.
So, yeah, that's my thing. I'm going to apologize to the Nets now so that later in the season when they suck, I can apologize for this apology.
Right. No, they're one of the teams. There's been a handful of teams I'm totally wrong on, but... I mean, this is a team I actually picked for an over last year and was terribly wrong, but they've been in games. This Kenny Atkinson might be he might also be a warlock. I mean, that's incredible. The guys are throwing out there, and Brook Lopez, very Marc Gasol-like, is just dropping threes.
No.
He's shooting over four threes per game. And again, he never really shot threes coming into this year.
I think he took 11 last night.
Are you serious?
I think I'm going to check, but I think he took 11 3-pointers.
So on Tuesday, I liked how, in this road trip, we're recording this on Wednesday, on this LA Lakers road trip, the Brooklyn Nets, like, kind of, they rested Lopez against the Clippers, which we're seeing like, yeah, we're going to get housed here. Let's not even worry about it. And they're saving their guys for like the Lakers. Let's try to beat them. But the Lakers, they're
frisky.
They did take care of business.
They'd be in the playoffs right now if we only played 12 games in a season.
My apology goes to a guy you mentioned, Serge Ibaka.
Revenge game.
I disparaged. I think we were making a joke about like these numbers don't look good for Serge Ibaka, and I said, you know what else doesn't look good for Serge Ibaka? Watching him play basketball.
Ooh.
So he came out and returning back home to Oklahoma City, which he I think called home, which I don't know if that's awkward. But when he dropped 31 points and hit the buzzer beater, scored a career high, and hit a buzzer beater to beat the Thunder. Unbelievable storybook game, something you would not believe. And again, the Magic season highlight on November what, 12?
Yeah, that's it. Their season's over.
13. So yeah, my apology, Serge Ibaka. Unbelievable game, unbelievable narrative.
On my hilarious like Hewlett Packard Pentium 3 that took me that long to look up, Brook Lopez was indeed 4-for-11 last night from 3-point land.
John.
For me, I think it's time for me to accept and apologize for the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, this could have been my worst of week, but go ahead and use your apology.
I mean, it's just a sad, pathetic rotation right now. I mostly blame Mike Malone, who we've always been a fan of on this show. But really, we were kind of a fan of Mike Malone's just for like, he had like that one really good 20-game stretch with the Kings, and we keep giving him credit for that, but maybe had he gotten to stay there, maybe Vivek was right.
Good. I'm not ready to totally, throw dirt on his corpse yet, but I am so sad of this team, which I feel like maybe I expected too much too early. Obviously, I have an infatuation with Nikola Jokic, but like he's not
getting enough run at all. Well, and when he does get run, he looks terrible.
Yeah, he's looked so struggled. I mean, he started the year as the four, and then he volunteered to come off the bench, and then he's playing weird minutes. I wonder, it's kind of like expecting too much too early. Chase Buddy Budinger down here playing with my kid. I threw him a ball. He caught the ball. Blew my mind.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, he caught it. And I'm like, hey, you want to go shoot a basket? And he turns around, goes over to his little toddler goal, lays the ball in. And I'm like, whoa, this kid's going to be amazing. Never done it again.
No.
Never. Oh. Not even caught a ball since then. So like, maybe it was just me getting so excited about Jokic's finish of the season last year and then anticipating the rise of Moutier, the improvement of Moutier, and then these other young guys, Gary Harris, who struggled to be on the court. I expected a lot. Again, this season's early.
Moutier is like, he's on Malone's list now.
Well, I mean, outside
Malone says he's had it with the turnovers, so...
What, outside of like one quarter or two quarters, he's had a pretty rough go. From Twitter, at Prince Pickaxe tweeted, Malone doesn't always lose basketball games, but when he does, he likes to lose them with Fareed at center, which is a good tweet. But I mean,
of all the weapons to choose,
yeah,
they've gone with the Fareed at center far too often.
Fareed needs to play center, which is the bad part. Like, him at four is a mess. I still have hope they'll figure it out. I do like that they're getting Juan Hernan Gomez involved. That guy's great. That guy's exciting. And again,
I can't keep Juan and Willie straight at this point. I'm just lost.
Juan shows in Denver. Willie, just think Big Willie. Big Willie's in New York. But
makes sense. Joe Willie Namath. There we go. Got it. I've got my pneumatic device.
That's perfect. So I'm not totally writing off the Nuggets. I'm just kind of depressed. And again, they waived our boy Jarnell Stokes. Gary Harris is out for 4 to 6 weeks or something now. So I don't know. But that's a good thing to feel bad for. So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to remind our listeners that we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. And I've really enjoyed it so far. We have a Slack chat going. It's pretty much for the games, but it also kind of goes around the clock. So it's a fun chance for us to interact with the people who support our show. So if you do like our show and you want to pitch us a few bucks, we have that available for you. You can join the group text on Slack. You can also get involved with Pickle's Pick'em Challenge, which
Keith got off the hottest start ever in that and then just fall from grace.
It was bound to come. I was feeling very cocky after going 7-0 on opening night.
It's like Shane McGowan in 1987.
Yeah. So if you guys want to get more involved with us, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. I also want to tell you guys about Loot Crate. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Well, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then Loot Wear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, will fill your closet with cult classics and your favorite franchises. So get your wands ready, because November's enchanting theme is magic. Get the 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China, and more. You have until the 19th to subscribe and get this month's crate. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter the code FASTBREAK to save $3 off any new subscription today. All right, and now for our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week?
Oh, did you guys see Stab Staps?
Stab Staps.
What does Stab Stab do?
He did Dirk's awesome kick out fadeaway and then stared the injured Dirk down on the bench, leading Dirk to say, "That was cold blooded."
He had a couple. He had one move off a triple shake jumper, too, that was positively Joe Ingles esque. That's your joke. Joe Ingles hit a step back three against the Grizzlies. I still can't
get over
that.
Every time I watch Joe Ingles, I feel like I'm in a YMCA.
He has taken the greatest old man YMCA moves and put them on the NBA stage. For that, he has our adulation.
Yeah.
Now, Kristaps doing things. Again, the Knicks.
Hey, best player on the Knicks.
Absolutely. Even though Phil Jackson did do a incredible ESPN interview where...
Good God.
A rambling...
Yeah. So many things wrong with
Phil
Jackson
right now.
See what
happens when you talk to Jackie McMullen.
Yeah. Chuck, you have a rivalry with Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, Porzingis is the dude. The Knicks are awful. No one is asking. That's my real issue with that interview with Phil Jackson is why Jackie McMullen didn't just ask him, why are you mailing this in? Because I don't believe he's really doing a good job. I don't think he cares about that organization, really. He's just doing things that make Jimmy Dolan feel good. Like, hey, these are players. You don't know that they're bad.
Right.
But their names, remember their names?
He threw some serious shade at Mike Conley.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, insane.
Mike Conley's making $30 million a year, which he said is insane.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
So why
called
don't I
insane.
Get Derrick Rose,
right,
who's making $20 million this year, and if we re-sign him, it'll probably be for more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yeah, you know, it wasn't a good look for Phil, but still, yeah, that's a perfect steak and eggs.
Yeah, Chris I hope Stapps, Phil's got a good financial awesome. Advisor because he doesn't seem to understand basic mathematics.
I don't think you don't need a financial advisor when you're making $10 million a year for doing nothing.
Jerry Krause said that he doesn't take that job for $5 million a year, but for $12 million, there's no way he won't. So he didn't want the job.
Yeah.
But he wanted the cash. So, yeah, good for you, Zen Master, you know.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Buy a shirt, please.
Does he have a posse? I'm just wondering.
Easy.
Oh,
he's got a rock coded, garden.
Easy coded language.
He's got a posse of rock gardens.
My steak and eggs best thing is the incredible output of scoring, individual scoring performances. Someone posted on our Facebook page saying, was there a rule change this year? Because guys are scoring points like crazy. Like, no, there wasn't. This is the first time in NBA history that five guys, after 10 games, have scored 300 points apiece.
Are all five guys DeMar DeRozan?
No, I mean, DeMar DeRozan is still... So DeMar DeRozan is leading the NBA in scoring.
A Jordan-esque pace.
Am I supposed to be, like, appointment viewing DeMar DeRozan? Like, is this Michael Jordan in his prime?
Dude, he is still unwatchable.
Like, I've missed games.
Do you like free throws?
Well, I mean, his team is winning, and he's scoring 33 a game.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing? I mean, you're saying just because it's more of the James Harden free throw
volume? Oh, it's way less fun to watch than James Harden.
Because James Harden's
way
actually passing
fun.
The ball.
I don't
now.
Know.
Yeah, the Rockets are more fun than usual. DeMar, like, I guess it's kind of funny to watch a guy do his, like, herky. Because remember, DeMar DeRozan also can't dribble. It's an amazing accomplishment.
It's unbelievable. It's just fantastic. But yeah, but it's DeMar DeRozan, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, and James Harden. All of them going for over 30 a game through the first 10 games. So we've never seen that before. That's my steak and eggs. Chuck, what do you got?
My best thing is a sign by a fan in Sacramento when the Lakers were visiting, and the sign read, D'Angelo Russell leaked Hillary's emails. And that alone, chuckle, ha ha, but where it turns into a drama is D'Angelo then found that fan with that sign, who was probably like a 17-year-old kid, and told him to S his D.
Nice.
So, obviously.
From the court or in, like, did he go, was it after the game? When did D'Angelo do this?
There's video of him yelling at him in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Was he surreptitiously filmed by another teammate?
That's pretty good.
And then leaked to TMZ. So, yeah, that was my favorite of the
week.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Lakers fans, but you have an extremely unlikable player in D'Angelo Russell for myriad reasons.
Oh, I mean, you said a 17-year-old was holding up the fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's holding up a sign to a 20-year-old.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like two kids who were in high school at the same time.
I bet that 17-year-old has a better assist to turnover rate, though.
I mean, we can't totally put down D'Angelo. He's doing his thing. I mean, the Lakers are still frisky. I mean, granted,
he's the second best point guard on that team.
They're only like they're only like two games up on the Knicks. Even let's be real, but
let's be very real, and let's not forget who they played.
Yeah, but still, no, the Nets and Lakers playing on Tuesday night was definitely a, like, these are surprise teams. I think teams are both doing good things. All right, what's the opposite of your steak and eggs? What's your cream of wheat worst of week? What's the worst thing saw this week?
I know Keith doesn't want to talk about this, but it's time to talk about the problematic language of Phil Jackson. He has described a group of, a group of mostly black men as a professional basketball team when they are, in fact, a bunch of goobers running around in what's supposed to be a triangle but resembles a circle, playing some of the ugliest basketball that you'll see.
Yeah.
So I think it's time we need to talk to Phil about his language, problematic language.
We got to sit him down and say you can't look at these Knicks and call them a team. That's offensive.
You can't.
It's not. It's inexcusable in every way.
But with that, we'll play say Phil Jackson, "How's It Going" moratorium for the rest of the podcast. we've given them too much lip service already.
It's true. My worst is the Seattle Supersonics are possibly coming back.
What do you have against Seattle?
Well,
Chuck?
let me get to
I
it.
I won't.
Can I tell you who's leading the charge? They've picked Russell Wilson.
Please be Sean Kemp. Not Russell Wilson.
They've picked Russell Wilson.
Ugh.
Yeah. Where's
Detlef Schrempf? He's way cooler.
When you pick Russell Wilson to be your head of PR, you've just chosen milquetoast, bland. There's no, we should have had Sean Kemp. Detlef Schrempf. You picked a guy who just, he's bland. He's got no juice.
He isn't that charismatic in the public eye, but he is the quarterback. He's the quarterback of the professional football team in Seattle, he's good.
Has he been on Parks and Rec?
No. I'm with you. Detlef Schrempf should be the one.
They're pretty similar.
Seattle's a hip town, dude. This isn't Oklahoma. This isn't some sort of middle America, nonsense.
Those are our
city.
Listeners, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, I love all of you who live in the middle of the country.
My worst of week is this could be my best, but whatever. Marcin Gortat talking about the Wizards bench.
He's amazing.
Quote, "I think right now, as far as I know, I think we've got one of the worst bench in the league right now." That is some serious Polish shade thrown at his bench unit.
That's like reading editing Keith's power rankings.
Yeah, that's like looking at my text. Ever since I've started texting, like on doing iMessage on my computer, so many typos, just gibberish. I type it fast, hit return. Don't proofread. But anyway,
you're a dad now. Like 72% of your brain power goes to making sure your son doesn't throw himself down those stairs.
He jumped off the porch yesterday into the bushes, just landed face down, has a scratch across his face. He's good. He just wanted to see what would happen. Anyway, so that's my worst. And again, we talked about it earlier. Wizards, I think the Wizards have a way up. I mean, they're not going to be this bad all season. I don't think, but because they are resting players and they have some injuries, but yeah, things aren't good over there. All right. Hey, the Waffle House presents. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. What else is going on?
Kenny Smith was doing speaking of rankings, he was ranking NBA players who he thinks, in order are better and worse, which that's what a ranking
Carmelo
is.
Carmelo Anthony number one, Knicks player number one, probably.
He had Chris Paul at 21.
Jesus and Joseph.
No, I'm sorry, 22.
22 of Chris Paul just passed Michael Jordan in win shares.
Yeah.
Did Chris Paul punch him in the junk or something? Well, how can that be? Chris Paul's dominating. The Clippers are the best team.
They have they're running ragged over the NBA. They look great. The offense is great, and Chris Paul's the linchpin there. So I just think Kenny Smith just doesn't get it. And he's a lot like me.
We got to talk about the Clippers, though. I mean, they have a 16.6 point differential over their opponents.
So far this season, they have a better point differential than the Clippers did. I mean, than the Warriors did last year on their 73-win pace.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a juggernaut right now. I think they're the best team in the league.
And we need to apologize to old Doc, GM Doc Rivers.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
One thing I will temper this Clippers expectation is this is shades of the Memphis Grizzlies in 2012-13 mm-hmm. when they came into the season with arguably the most continuity on their roster, and a lot of the other teams in the West were adding new pieces, adding new coaches, adding new systems, trying to figure it out, or having walking around with constant hangovers like the Warriors. Right. And so this Clippers team has showed up in this season and just, I don't want to say curb stomped, but destroyed every team they played.
Well, you did.
just destroyed everything they played. And they do look amazing. They do look taking care of business, and they're blowing out everyone. We're recording this on Wednesday. I'm not sure when you'll hear it, listener, but they're playing the Grizzlies on Wednesday night. I assume
they're going to destroy us.
I assume Grizzlies just go ahead and don't play Conley or Gasol. Right. But anyway, so this team is so locked in. Yes, they do look like the best team in the league right now. But again, it's November, and you know it's. For these veteran teams that are really good, it's all about the future. But if I was a Clippers fan, I would be loving it. You just kick your feet back every night and watch them destroy people. Blake and Chris playing awesome.
They're doing like fun stuff too. Like they've got Blake bringing the ball up a lot now, and it's not fair.
Blake handles the Blake breaking his guy down and yes. then getting into the lane and throwing the alley-oop just never gets old. It's so beautiful where he beats his guy, a help defender comes, and then he throws the lob to DeAndre. It's just it's beautiful basketball, and it definitely looks unstoppable at times. Drew Holiday, good news for Pelicans fans. Pelicans, who won a game, congratulations, now with two victories as we record this. Drew Holiday is coming back, which is great news, but this little tidbit of news I did not know. His baby girl was born a couple weeks ago. Baby girl's name,
Drew.
Drew.
Yeah.
Let the J-R-U-E name never leave us. I love
no,
it.
No, I love it too.
Keep it going. What am I? It is.
That's a legacy, dog.
It's phonetically correct.
It is.
You can't tell me that is not Drew when you mm-hmm. look at it. And so mm-hmm. That made me really happy. So congratulations to him and Lauren, his wife. And
what's his middle name? Is his middle name like Alfred? I hope her middle name is also Alfred.
Yeah.
I hope her name is Drew Alfred Jr. Drew Alfred Jr.
What's going on with the Timberwolves?
I think they've had kind of a mildly tough schedule.
Right.
Their offense is actually good. Mm-hmm. Their offensive rating is great. Their defense is not caught on.
Wiggins going off.
Wiggins is
good
locked
gravy.
In. Well, so that could be the sign of concern is Wiggins has been incredibly locked in.
And they're still
losing.
Yeah.
I feel like Kat is shooting too much outside.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Karl Anthony Towns is Serge Ibaka-ing this thing right now.
Yeah, he's not being the hub I would have thought in the offense. But, you know, I think it's growing pains. I still think them in our Patreon-only power rankings that we're putting up. I still have them kind of like middle of the pack. But I might just be totally blinding like of my expectation and what they're actually doing.
Is this one of those things maybe that we just look at the hope, the roster, and say, hey, man, these kids got to be good soon. Why not now? We did that last year with them, and now it seems
so
like...
So last year, they were like a 30-win team or so,
yeah.
and they brought back the exact same team.
Mm-hmm. And continuity is what we're talking about the Clippers.
So we expected Karl Anthony Towns to make a bigger leap.
Right. And I think more than anything, we expected Tibbs to make a bigger impact than he has.
On the defensive side, yeah.
And I think maybe it'll still be time. I mean, obviously Rubio's missed games, which mm-hmm. is bad for them. Like Chris Dunn is not ready.
Well, they're playing like Tyler Ulis more than Chris Dunn even. I mean, it's just kind of...
But they've had incredibly bad third quarters. So yeah. they are showing glimpses.
What's he doing at halftime? What's Tibbs saying at halftime?
I don't know.
He's just making a gabagool sandwich and sighing.
But this team has shown that, I mean, they get up by 10 in most of their games.
Right.
So like the talent is there. The glimpse is there. They just have
You can tell like Vegas thinks they're going to be better than they are because the spreads are always really whacked out in every single game. You're like, what?
Well, that's your early season gambling where you see the records don't really reflect what the spreads are.
Right.
You're like, oh, why is this happening?
I'm glad you got to bring this game up because, just last night we got to watch Steve Clifford completely dismantle the Timberwolves during a quarter, totally break them down.
Well, yeah, I think it was 36-14 in the third quarter of the Hornets-Timberwolves game. And again, John, you needle me about it. Steve Clifford.
He's awesome.
Legend.
He's awesome.
Go ahead and get that bust in Springfield.
The commission.
I mean,
I hate the lineups that Tibbs is rolling out too. I think Gorgui Dieng plays way too much.
Well, I mean, they made a financial investment.
Yeah, well, sometimes you trade for. And I said Tyler Ulis, it's Tyus Jones who's getting the run over Chris Dunn. But
yeah,
but this team to me, like, there's a certain style they should be playing, and they're not playing it right now. And I don't know if that's a Tibbs thing or what.
You just mean more. What do you mean? Like what style is that?
Faster pace or
because they're scoring, their offensive rating is really good.
Yeah, but they've got like the way they're spacing, like Big Cat's way outside most of the time,
right.
which I don't understand. He should be owning the paint. There's a lot of like Adrian Payne sightings, egregious Adrian Payne sightings.
The Adrian Payne stuff was injury related. He's not long term related. And hey, shout out Adrian Payne. I've trashed you many times. You were totally replacement level,
slightly below replacement level. Yeah.
Speaking of big guys shooting, our boy Mark Gasol, Mark the Shark, has 12 3-pointers on the year, and his previous career coming into this season only had 12 3-pointers. So through in 10 games, he's matched his career output from downtown.
Want to be excited, but Brolo, y'all. Brolo.
Yeah, Brolo's putting up the true volume.
That's a game for Brolo.
the true volume from Brook Lopez. So the Cavs are still taking care of business. Still look like to be the defending champs doing their thing. I'm actually surprised how well they're playing, because I actually thought they'd have a kind of lethargic hangover and just be coasting.
Mm-hmm.
The deal with the Cavs is I feel like they still feel obligated to prove that they're better than the Warriors. Because I think some people, they just don't believe that people believe that they were the best team.
Yeah.
The Warriors won that many games. So I think that's like a psychological edge for them. But I mean, yeah, they look outstanding. I mean, being a very good Toronto team. To me, there's like two clear best teams right now. Although we know that the Sleeping Giant is coming. And they're actually starting to kind of play that way. The Dubs do look like the Dubs of old already. But to me, it's Cavs in the East, Clippers in the West right now. And it's pretty fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah. So what do we think? I'm curious. A couple teams in the East. What do we think of the Chicago Bulls, who are still playing really well? Do we think they're for real? Are they're a legit playoff team?
I'm not sold on Wade staying healthy the whole year. And he's doing kind of he's playing a big role. They paid him for it, but he's, you know, I know Jimmy Butler's going in. He versus the Blazers, he had, you know, 27 and 12, look really good. And he's still everyone's dad. So, this early in the season.
Is this just Dwayne Wade hate, Chuck?
I just hate him.
You just hate him? You just hate
that
he
left? I'm so salty.
The Bulls have defeated no one good.
Yeah.
But still.
Unless you count the Celtics, who look terrible, frankly, especially on defense.
Well, they beat the Celtics. I mean, I know you're really down on the Blazers, but going into Portland.
The Blazers are awful.
But still, coming into the season, we would not have anticipated the Bulls annihilating the Blazers on the road.
Yeah, and they're doing it.
Like, that's a surprise.
They're kind of undermanned, too. So
I wonder if that actually helps them.
Maybe so, but yeah, the shortened bench or something like that. But there's something in the air over there, because I was calling for Hoiberg to be the first guy to get fired, and I was clearly way off on that. But again, I'm going to say it again. The Bulls have played no one.
Okay.
They've not played the good team they've beaten is the Blazers, who are a minus 4.2 point differential team in the Western Conference and have also played no one.
Yeah. But I would say there's seven good teams. So, I mean, if the Bulls are only beating bad teams, they can win a lot of games. Like, so there's no shame in that.
And they're rebounding pretty well. They're leading the league in offensive rebound percentage. They're doing good on, you know, the
Taj Gibson.
That make, you know, close games count, and they're winning those against, you know, probably below average teams so far. But when they hit that chunk of the season where they're playing big teams, it's going to be over.
I know we need to get out of this segment, but this only seven or eight good teams narrative that I've heard kind of bandied about, I don't know if it's true. I feel like there's more frisky teams than that. Like, I feel like even the Jazz, you know, aren't playing maybe up to what we thought they were going to be. I think they're really good. I feel like there's like seven good teams in each conference this year. Is that crazy?
Well, I mean, it just depends what you consider.
Your baseline?
Well, so like my baseline is like trying to think of teams that are better than the Bulls. Like, if you think like the Bulls are better than the Blazers, well, then now we're talking about the Bulls probably being a top 10 team, because there's not that many other teams out there. I mean, Clippers, Warriors, Spurs, Jazz, you know, I like all those teams in the West. And then the Rockets have looked pretty good. And then what? I mean, the Thunder, the Blazers, the Lakers, you know, like
Thunder. I mean, I think the Thunder, and, you know, they're up and down, but they've definitely shown themselves a force to be reckoned with on their good nights. The Pistons look good to me. I mean, I think the Celtics will come around. I just think it's a good year for basketball. I think there's a lot of good teams.
Well, I think it's a good year for basketball in the fact that there's a lot of parity. And I'm not going to be worried about, you know, what who we label good or not, you know, but because it is the games are great. And I'm glad you mentioned the Pistons, because I did want to talk about them briefly before going to the ice shop. Like, sure. The Pistons are a team I was kind of doubting this year, even though everyone else was picking them to do well. And I thought Ish Smith would be terrible for them. And Ish Smith has been terrible for them. And they're still winning. You know, like,
and Reggie's about to come back.
Yeah. So like, Ish Smith's really bad play hasn't hampered them at all. I mean, I guess it has hampered them, but like, they're still winning some games. Like, they had some troubles on the road, but they're still hanging in there. Like, I didn't think they'd be above 500 when Reggie Jackson came back, and they have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. They're a real Georgie Porgy team in that, like, they can look really good and, you know, hang with some good teams for a while, and then they'll just like turn around loose to the Suns.
Right.
They're a really bizarre team.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so let's go to the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, given each week to the worst performance in a box score. And who, Nelly, all-time International Stackhouse of Pancakes week. I'm not even going to do any honorable mentions because there's just too
many. Just going to give it to the Portland Trailblazers against
the
Bulls?
I mean, there was team performances. We had teams scoring in the 60s. I see you, Orlando Magic. Like, people were just doing
that. That's unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, before the Magic scored. Did they score 60s twice? Maybe. I think they got to the 70s against the Jazz. It was a game like right out of the late 90s. But anyway, so I'm not even going to mention guys who went 1-for-10, 3-for-15. You didn't even scratch the surface this week. All right, so we're doing this from the games from November 9th.
I feel like you just subtweeted Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, from November 9th to November 15th. So a week ago Wednesday, Sergio Rodriguez threw up a 1-for-14. And, people were tweeting at us saying, well, there's your eye shop. And I'm like, yep, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Ain't nothing we can do. Well, the NBA said, let's see if I can step up to this challenge.
So
Sergio Rodriguez went 1-for-14. He scored 2 points, had 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 turnovers.
Stackhouse.
That's amazing. On the same night, I was so focused on Sergio Rodriguez, I didn't even notice this until I was preparing for this segment. Mason Plumlee went 1-for-12.
Why is he shooting that much?
Mason Plumlee went 1-for-12 for 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. What in the world? From a 7-footer, 1-for-12. All right. Then
there's too much glee in your voice right now.
Then
this is what he lives for.
Ryan Anderson, in a loss, Rockets lost to the Spurs, 1-for-13.
Oof.
5 fouls. He had 6 points, 8 boards, 5 fouls, 2 turnovers. So so far we have a 1-for-14, a 1-for-12, a 1-for-13. And then Justin Anderson of the Mavericks. 0-for-11. No points.
Yeah.
7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 fouls.
I mean, this seems to be a...
So Sergio Rodriguez, 1-for-14. Mason Plumlee, 1-for-12. Ryan Anderson, 1-for-13. Justin Anderson, 0-for-11.
I could think God. We'd go the over.
0-for-11.
Because in my head, the 1-for-13s, at one point, they were like 1-for-4, you know? And
yeah.
They're like, I'll just keep it up. But he was 0-for-6 at one point and decided to take 5 more shots.
So 0-for-11, 0 points absolutely gets
right.
My, you know, that's too, I don't know, John, you make this a unanimous?
That is a slam dunk.
All right, so congratulations, Justin Anderson.
Which Justin going, Anderson would
I'm
miss.
Going 0-for-11, scoring no points. And this got me thinking, when's the last time someone took 11 shots and did not score?
Middle school basketball.
And so, John, this is going to make you angry.
Oh, no.
This is going to be an impossible game of scones that we are going to fly through. Here's the thing. 15 times, counting Justin Anderson, 15 players have taken at least 11 shots and not scored. We're going to fly through this because it's going to be impossible. I mean, all these names you know. There's only one number.
Can I go ahead and throw out Jacques Vaughn?
There's only one name on here I don't know. What's one strike for John? Jacques Vaughn is not on there.
What happened to Jacques Watch? Probably never taken 11 shots in a game.
Yeah, Jacques Watch, it wasn't on the same game.
It was over 14 games.
I'm gonna give huge hints.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Most of these people played for the Clippers in the 90s or 2000s. I mean, they didn't always do it on the Clippers, but most of these guys did it. So these are gettable, but not gettable. So we'll just fly through it and then make some mistakes. Chuck, just throw a name out. Any name out.
Let's do Danny Manning.
That's a good guess. No.
Wow. All right,
John, go.
I remember the 0-for-13 Ray Allen game, so I'll go with that.
Oh, no, because Ray Allen scored.
Oh,
so this is people who did not score a point.
Score. This is hard.
This is really hard.
Clipper. I'm going to throw out.
Can we get, like, yeah,
okay,
position and year?
Oliwa Kendi.
All right. This person did it in 2005 as a power forward for the Trailblazers and is still in the NBA.
Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph is right. Ooh. We let John steal. Zach Randolph went 0-for-12. All right. This person did it in 2001 as a smallish power forward for the Golden State Warriors. He works for NBA TV currently.
Oh man.
It's not Mitch Richmond.
It's got a beautiful smile.
Rick Fox?
He played at North Carolina like Rick Fox. All our listeners have gotten it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Yeah, sorry.
Anton Jamison.
He does have a beautiful smile. He kind of looks like Nosferatu.
This person was one of my favorite players. Did it in 2002 for the Clippers.
Darius Miles.
Darius Miles is correct, but not what I was going for. Darius Miles did it in 2003 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay. 0-for-11. Who was his running buddy? Headband.
Quentin Richardson.
Quentin Richardson is correct. I'm not keeping score, but you guys are doing great.
It's better if we don't keep score.
Yeah, let's. I'll wrap it up. So the worst ever is Dino Raja was 0-for-14. No
what?
Points. Other notables: Tom Gugliotta 0-for-13. David Goops. Wesley 0-for-13. Derek Anderson 0-for-12. We mentioned Zach Randolph. Richard Anderson. I don't know who that is.
Anderson.
Yeah, Richard.
I think he's a bad guy in RoboCop.
Yeah, Mark Jackson did it for the Pacers, 0-for-11. And then
praise God.
Antonio Davis, Devin George, Evan Turner in 2013 was our most recent person to do it.
But he's the glue. And then
Andrew Bynum. Oh, actually, Andrew Bynum was the most recent.
Evan Turner is the glue that held this team together, though. This 0-for team.
So that was for me. That was for me.
The all 0-for team.
The all 0-for team. 15 times.
Do you need a moist towelette now?
I really do. All right.
Cigarette.
Our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to this week?
I have to open my computer up again because
you closed it.
I closed it
out of honor.
Out of honor.
he slammed it closed after the Dino Raja line.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing if they're about to play a series of back-to-backs. Can the Wizards keep up this horrible, horrible basketball? Is it possible? Let's stay on point. Let's stay in Keith's world. Can they keep it up? I think they lose the Sixers tonight.
I feel like this is maybe not good enough for a par fadeaway. It's so far into the future, but I've become so enamored, like everyone else in the world, with Joel Embiid. I almost feel bad accepting him into my life because I feel like once I open my heart, once I lift that guard down, mm-hmm. I'm just opening myself up to pain. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten so excited about Joel Embiid and his incredible usage rate, his incredible per 36 averages. But looking into the future, far, far into the future, like, man, what if Ben Simmons hadn't gotten hurt?
No kidding.
Like, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, these guys would be incredible to watch. I don't care that Ben Simmons can't hit a shot. Like, that, I've now drunk the Sam Hinkie Kool-Aid. And this team is still maybe the worst team in the NBA for this season.
Yeah.
But a far into the distance par fade away.
Let me give you
I'm looking forward to Simmons and Embiid. It'll never happen.
It may. And even if it does, we're looking at, you know, at best a low rent Wiggins and Big Cat. So I don't know how. I mean, they'll be fun to watch, but at least Wiggins can shoot a three. He can't hit a free throw, but he can shoot a three. So I don't know if it would be fun. Here's my thing. I'm looking forward to David Blaine hanging out with NBA players forever.
Never fails.
Just always hang out with NBA players and blow their minds with magic. Because
we got to get David Blaine and Dikembe Mutombo together.
Oh, my goodness.
Dikembe Mutombo has an aneurysm if he sees like a tomahawk jam. If David Blaine makes the Empire State Building disappear in front of Dikembe, what will happen?
But there's a thing with frogs, right? To Chuck? I feel like David Blaine did a thing. He spit some frogs out, right?
Yeah. It was with Dave Chappelle and Steph Curry and a few other NBA players were with him. And Chappelle was there, which made it all the better. But basically, yeah, he was doing some weird magic with mouth frogs.
Oh, and, yeah, mouth frogs.
It was kind of gross and amazing.
Start spitting out Russell Westbrook?
But it's basically like, you know, whenever an NBA player sees something like that, it's like the great, it's like a showing a 5-year old.
It's like Bazemore 3 years ago on the bench for the Warriors.
Yeah.
They start waving the towel.
Constant Bazemore.
It's like when Embiid saw Boban for the first time.
It's like, what?
Right. All right. So you guys, thanks for listening. Check out our Patreon. We love our supporters and we're looking for more. Go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast or go to fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @FastBreakBreak. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue. We're going to talk a little bit about them and breaking news with Brandon Wright. Guess what?
Oh, God.
Surprise. Surprise. Not good. Anyway, yeah. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. It would have been all down, like a very, it would have been a Grizzlies epitaph if it hadn't been for a surprising win against the Jazz in Salt Lake City. I know it was a Jazz team missing George Hill and Rodney Hood, and Derek Favors left the game, but I'll take it.
A win's a win.
You put your stink on him for that one, Keith, though. You caused that one.
I used my full parish line curse for good. I mean, the over-under was what, 192?
191.
I couldn't imagine the Grizzlies scoring 75 points in that game. Like, I really couldn't. But, man, there was no defense in the first half. And then, shout out Murderface Quinn Snyder, benched Gobert down the stretch of the game. And the Grizzlies played Twin Towers with Zebo and Gasol and got every offensive rebound. Hey,
surprise, surprise.
Funny how that works.
Thanks, Quinn.
Yes.
But really, there's just one thing to talk about, and that's Brandon Wright being a broken down glue factory horse to the point that the procedure he's undergoing right now is called a debridement.
Yeah.
That's a horse thing. That's what you do to horses. Well, that's what you do.
Isn't that just mean like the tendon isn't connected or something? Or is the debridement is the actual surgery process of trying to put the tendon back?
When like it's like a deep teeth cleaning.
This is so sad. I mean, this is
a new ways to like be classified as out.
He's absolutely going to get waived, I assume.
Yes.
Because we've seen this now, guys getting hurt, getting waived, and the Grizzlies kind of need a backup point guard. I just feel bad for the guy. You know, he came on our show.
Yeah,
it's
the only thing I like about him.
So we love him, but he's been hurt. He's just has nonstop injuries, and this is another black mark on the Grizzlies' medical staff.
Yeah,
like this is another guy who has
the anti-Suns
inoperable or unfixable thing, and they keep saying he's back, keep saying he's fine, and then they make up these things. It's like he was back from injury, and then said immediately banged his knee in a practice.
God.
So like I don't know what to make of it. But hey, the guys who are on the team.
Deontay Davis.
I'm excited. I know Locked On Grizzlies host Peter Edmondson was calling for Deontay. We were calling for Deontay. He did show up good in that Jazz win, playing center alongside Zebo. So Zebo
tried to kill Joe Ingles.
Yeah. So like I'm loving seeing Deontay Davis getting in the game. I think, man, like now that there is a clear path for playing time for him, and he's part of the future. So I hope they keep playing him. But I want to also give credit to Andrew Harrison. Harrison, some people are still, we're 10 games into the season. People are talking about, like we were talking about in the offseason, maybe this just cutting Andrew Harrison because he might not be an NBA player.
Was wrong.
He's proven he's an NBA player. Like he makes mistakes. He keeps committing these offensive fouls where he grabs his defender while he's dribbling. But like this man has played really good defense in the Nuggets game and in the Jazz game. He's getting steals. He's taking charges. He's looking totally competent. He's looking, he looks better than Nick Kalathis looked 10 games into his career. And I loved Nick Kalathis.
Kind of a low bar.
Kalathis ended up being great.
Yeah.
Except for that time when fans booed him out of the gym.
Right. And that time he had to start in the playoffs against the Warriors.
Oh, dear.
But no, like, so Andrew Harrison has shown that he, you know, like, he still has potential. I feel like a lot of people are like, Wade Ball, when he's a play, he looks worse, but he's the higher upside, and he might have the higher upside, but we kind of forget, like, Andrew Harrison, what is he? He's like 20, he's 21, and he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just a rookie guy. So I've actually been encouraged what I've seen of Andrew Harrison lately. So we will wrap it up on that. Again, the Grizzlies will probably lose to the Clippers before you hear more from us. But, you know, they, if they can salvage a win against the Mavs, that's an okay road trip. And things are kind of looking up. Chandler Parsons, you know, got to shake rust off. Tony Allen, you know, is going to get back in there. And again, this is going to be the whole season. Do we see them healthy or not? All right, so you guys, thanks for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.